SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's the Early Line, live right here on a Friday on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Some news breaking. Nothing major, but some news breaking certainly in the NFL early doors here. But first, DRS, how you feeling?
Feels good. Little Friday and the first time in a long time, Kevin. It's no longer a football Friday. These are now basketball Fridays. Let's get used to turning the page and having some fun. All-Star Weekend coming up.
The people will be happy to know that they are still getting a pick six on this Friday here.
Of course.
Which should be tremendous. Donnie's best ever pick six, some said, was his All-Star Weekend pick six. Mm-hmm. So it is back in full effect. Before we get to the 7-7, some news, Donnie, coming out of Green Bay that they are going to rework the salary of Aaron Jones to make sure he remains a Packer for the upcoming season.
Doesn't sound like I don't want to be part of a rebuild is going to be part of the equation in Green Bay, so watch out. And again, we can't have any news just yet because why? Somebody's in solitary confinement voluntarily right now here talking about Aaron Rodgers.
One of three Packers that Rodgers seems to actually like would be Aaron Jones, so that is at least one thing that would be positive in way of keeping him in the building. In other running back news, Alvin Kamara was indicted on a battery case. This is something that has been lingering over Kamara. It did not cost him any games last season, but I think there's every expectation, Don, that this will cost him a couple of games, if not more, this upcoming season.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to do the old let's push this one back until March 16th where we finally get a resolution in the court system. Looks like it's going to come down pretty quickly here. And the NFL actually doesn't need to see anything from the court system that says you're guilty. They can act upon the better use of the shield, as they like to say. He's going to get suspended, Kevin.
Yeah, which does that factor into a Derek Carr decision? The best offensive player, we shall see. In the college basketball landscape, an unsurprising result here. Purdue gets smashed by Maryland. I said that a bit tongue-in-cheek. It was a tight line, but Maryland's at home, so of course they won 68-54 as a one-point favorite over the number three team in college basketball.
Yeah, game stayed under the total, but there you go. Oh, my goodness, a one-point line, a top-five team on the road against an unranked opponent, and they get beat by double digits. That's college basketball. That's the best way to bet. Just take those teams that you go, this line looks a little bit fishy, cash that ticket.
I'll tell you one team that didn't fall into the trap, though, late night was Gonzaga. They put up 68 first-half points against Loyola Marymount and 108 in the game. DRS was all about that team total over for the Zags. Yeah. Going over then to the NBA, taking a look at some of the headlines here, Kevin Durant was talking a lot about the pressure that comes with being a Phoenix Sun, but more so for the rest of the Phoenix Suns, saying that he's one of the best players in the history of the NBA, and they're going to have to be able to step up to the task. Last night, they, of course, were without Kevin Durant's services and lost 116-107 to the LA Clippers in their own building.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal when they come back because I guess you would have like the big four at that point. It's going to be fun to watch. Now, again, you don't have a lot of depth, but as we know in the NBA, it's all about your superstars and how they play in the biggest moments. KD embracing the pressure. He'll be ready.
As he should. They are the favorites in the Western Conference. We will watch as those odds continue to shift. We've also got some updates around Russell Westbrook, who has still not been able to reach to a buyout agreement with the Utah Jazz just yet. But some of the teams that Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN is reporting to be interested, the Chicago Bulls, the LA Clippers, the Washington Wizards, and the Miami Heat. Russ seeking permission and being granted to speak with all of these teams before any decision is to come down on what exactly is going to play out for him. Our radio audience does join us live on a Friday morning, the Early Line, SiriusXM, Channel 159 here, DRS. We're still waiting on a real development for Russell Westbrook.
I love it, too. This is what makes the NBA very interesting to me, is a guy that nobody wants to trade for, but the minute you get bought out, everybody's kicking and screaming, this guy needs to be on my basketball team. He is the missing piece to help us out. It's pretty fantastic to watch it play out that way.
And I do think kind of the reason, we'll talk a little more about this, the Russ news is developing this way, is if he can't lock in a deal he likes with a different team, he's not going to do a buyout with the Jazz. He's just going to let them pay him his full salary, and he'll probably go and sit home. We also saw the Milwaukee Bucks in action last night. They extend their win streak to 12. They win by 12 over the Chicago Bulls, but they only get 9 minutes of work out of Giannis Antetokounmpo, who exits early DRS here with a wrist injury.
Yeah, one to keep an eye on for All-Star Weekend for sure, but that's a good win by the Bucks here on the road. I wasn't willing to lay the 7.5 or 8, thought they would win, but that's a good performance. And specifically, you didn't get your normal 34 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists out of Giannis. How about Brook Lopez, 33 and 7? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Giannis rather was involved with FanDuel Sportsbook Osbu. So unfortunately, the injury upsetting there. As I mentioned, the Clippers beat the Phoenix Suns 116 to 107. Paul George leading the way with 26 points. We also saw the Wizards have a huge fourth quarter up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, winning the fourth 38 to 19 to win that basketball game 114 to 106. And then over yesterday at the Genesis Invitational, an odds boost around Tiger Woods paying the people. 4 birdies in the first round. He birdied on the opening hole, and he actually birdied the last 3 holes of the opening round, finishing up 2 under.
Yeah, I saw because I actually tuned in when he had the 3 birdies looking for that 4th birdie. That was a beautiful putt on the par 5. So Tiger in it for the weekend. Looks like a great chance at making the cut. Goff's got to love that.
Yeah, Tiger was 120-1 pre-tournament, down to 80-1, so odds moving in his direction. Still hardly the favorite, though. That status belongs to Jon Rahm at plus 300, one of 4 golfers that sit underneath that 10-1 marker. That's your 7-7. When we come back, we look at the NFL headlines, including some prices that are being floated around for the New York Giants star players. It's all coming up after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid, taking a look at some of the top stories around the National Football League. And one coming out of New Orleans, Alvin Kamara indicted. This is not stunning news, as we knew that Alvin Kamara at some point was going to have to deal with this situation. It was pushed back last year, and the early expectation from people last season is that this could cost Alvin Kamara 6 games. He ended up missing no time, but you knew that this was always going to have to come down for Kamara. Donnie, I don't know if that 6-game suspension is still the expectation, but at some point, Alvin Kamara is going to certainly, I think, be missing time for the upcoming NFL season.
Yeah, and if you're a New Orleans backer, I guess, fan or front office, you probably would have hoped he came last year because that season didn't amount to anything. And if you're looking to re-up at the quarterback position with a legitimate chance to win the NFC South, that would hurt to lose Alvin Kamara for 6 full games in the 2023 season.
The thing I wonder, and I don't know what Derek Carr is prioritizing out there, but it is not great when your most talented offensive player has an impending potential 6-game suspension looming over as Derek Carr tries to make a decision what is the best fit for him. I just, something to potentially keep in mind there as Derek Carr is maybe doing a pros and cons list of where he is best suited for this upcoming season. To go then to another running back, we had a little Saquon Barkley news, and then we'll get to the Daniel Jones side of this. But the reported figure for Saquon Barkley that could see him stay in Big Blue and stay with the Giants was $14 million per year. It's big money for a running back. Saquon was that important. It does feel like this is, though, what happens with running backs for the Giants. Nobody questions Saquon's value to this football team. It's about whether you should pay any running back that type of price, Donnie.
No, and you're right about it. And also, when you're paying a running back to me, Kevin, isn't it of the notion like, okay, we can't lose this guy or else we can't, I don't want to say function as a football team, but one of those missing pieces that goes, if we want to win a Super Bowl, this guy is certainly going to be at the center of it all. Fantastic running back. Nobody's arguing that. But is this the right move for the New York Giants as if it keeps them in the fold for winning a Super Bowl, I think they're a little ways away. And with a running back who's already been in the league a couple of years with a lot of injury concerns, if you're willing to go that number 14, 15 a year, then also you can't maybe sign a wide receiver, an extra defensive back. The Giants need a lot of talent. And I preface this by saying Saquon Barkley is a talent, but is he going to put them over the edge at that price tag? I don't think so.
I'm very curious to see if Saquon's 14 million number is what he perceives as a discount for the Giants, or okay, for the Giants, I'll sign for 14 million, for the Buffalo Bills, 10 million, for the Kansas City Chiefs, 10 million. That's what I wonder about Saquon Barkley, DRS, because it's going to make a big difference there, probably for the Giants when they're making this decision and trying to figure out where the market is on a Saquon Barkley. It's funny, but some of the stuff that we've said about Daniel Jones and are probably going to say with in about a minute's time, who are the Saquon suitors? Who is lining up to pay him $14, $15 million a season? Look, Christian McCaffrey came in and completely changed the way things were able to work in San Francisco. And he makes top dollar in this league at the running back position. And I still don't think people took away from that situation saying, okay, we should try and carbon copy what they've got going on in San Francisco. Teams, I don't think to themselves they have that same capability as that phenomenal Niners roster. I don't think you're going to see a laundry list of teams willing to pay Saquon Barkley to $14, $15 million a season.
No, and you're right about that. And that's the running back position. It's been devalued over the years. But if there's teams that you could say, if they would fit him in, they probably wouldn't pay him. But the Buffalo Bills seems like the perfect scenario. And they actually reached out to the Giants at the trade deadline to see if he would be available. They ended with Nyheim Hines, who, yeah, had a couple kick returns there. But that wasn't the return they needed to make that splash in the backfield. Another team, which, again, is not going to sign Saquon Barkley, Philadelphia Eagles. You think Saquon Barkley in that backfield with Jalen Hurts running the read option would be sensational? Yes, it is. But again, we're playing fantasy football right now. But those are the type of teams that if you were going to pay a running back and fit him in, you can rationalize it by going, well, we're all in here. We're running dominant running back short of going over the edge. That's what we would want to do. So it's a different outlook here on the Giants signing him because he's a good football player. But did the Giants sign him at that big number? Does it really help them long term? I'm not so sure.
To then get to the big long-term decision that they have on their hands, some numbers also being kicked around on Daniel Jones, some suggesting $35 million for the Giants signal caller. This is, again, one of these things where I understand he won a playoff game. I know he showed improvement, and I know the pass catcher room outside of Saquon was nothing to write home about. I still don't necessarily understand the willingness for people to go, look, it's what a quarterback costs. It's what we have to pay him. That it is all, it's supply and demand, supply and demand. Yes, that's what generally a quarterback costs. What is everybody else willing to pay your quarterback? I will continue to bang this drum, Donnie, and I know you're doing the same. Is this idea that the Giants have no choice but to pay him $35, $40 million is not really based in reality at the moment.
It's not. Now, hear me out on this, because maybe this isn't a great business practice by the Giants, but everybody seems to be in the Giants organization loves Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones seems to love the Giants organization. So if you're a smart organization and you slap the franchise tag down, maybe he sprints to the window and signs it and costs you $35 million a year. Maybe you don't work out a long-term deal before free agency starts. But why wouldn't you honestly do this? The Mara family, the GM, you know, Schoen, go out into the offseason and go, hey, Daniel, we really want you back. We're not even going to tag you. Go out and see what's out there. Because if somebody's going to pay you $43 million a year, it's probably not in our best interest to keep you. But if you go out there and teams like, okay, $26 million, $22 million, $19 million. And again, I don't know what the marketplace is. I'm just throwing numbers out there. And the Giants go, oh, you did? Okay. 5 years, $126 million, certain amount of X, you know, guaranteed money. Sure, come on back. We'll sign it and he'll be happy to do it. Going, you know what? That was fair market value. But I don't understand the need to, before free agency starts, we got to have a resolution on Daniel Jones. Because again, we're under the same assumption. Who else out there wants Daniel Jones? And also, from the flip side, it's almost like saying, okay, Daniel Jones leaves. Are we devastated for the Giants? I mean, obviously, forget about Tyrod Taylor, but couldn't like even like a Jimmy Garoppolo step in and do similar things with the Giants offense? We're not losing Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, right? You're losing a solid quarterback in the NFL, but if he leaves, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm out on the Giants now. It's not the way it works here. So that price point here, $35 million, is very interesting because you're right, Kevin. Who else is on the market that says, if we let this guy test the waters, he's never coming back?
It's a good point. I've spent so much time talking about other teams being interested in Daniel Jones. There doesn't seem to be any rumors about the Giants being interested in anybody else. And that's also likely a mistake. If you're the Giants, you should be putting feelers out there on other quarterbacks and seeing if they fit your situation. And that's the high-level guys like Lamar Jackson and Derek Carr. And that could be the cheaper options. If everybody agrees, Daniel Jones defenders and slanderers, that the roster was not great last year, then isn't the opportunity to save $15 million at the quarterback position a bit enticing and seeing how else you can repurpose that money? Again, I think the dream scenario here should probably be a franchise tag on Daniel Jones, as I understand the desire to give him another season, see if he can prove it for another season, hope you can upgrade the wide receiver room to feel that you're now giving him a real chance for a second year with competent coaching. But again, this notion that, look, Daniel Jones is the only quarterback that they can possibly sign and they got to give him a five-year deal has just always been a bit ridiculous. We go over to some NBA headlines here on a Friday morning. You are watching and listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, it's The Early Line. Taking a look at some of the action from the NBA yesterday, and the Milwaukee Bucks grab their 12th consecutive victory. They do so, though, with seeing Giannis exit early. To just start there quickly, Donnie, this could potentially put his All-Star game status in doubt, though Giannis is sneaky, one of the most important guys there, because not only, of course, is he a captain, but you've got Tiamat Antetokounmpo on Saturday. This would be a bit of a disaster, quite frankly, if Giannis ends up bowing out of this basketball game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's an interesting caveat because the NBA, you want your biggest stars in the All-Star game. We get that. But also, you're trying to win championships. And if that wrist isn't right, can you imagine? Hey, it was sprained heading in the All-Star game, tried to give it a go, went up for a dunk, fell awkwardly, ended up breaking my wrist at that point. So it's tough to look out for. But Giannis, we've seen his leg bend in half in the playoffs for him only to return and win a world championship. So he's pretty elusive there with the injury bug.
Just to give people an idea, though, legitimate money-making situation, they've shut down the spread for the All-Star game, Team LeBron versus Team Giannis. The money line is increased for Team LeBron. No, Donnie, you laugh, but you know this. Donnie, every year,
I know it is.
Team LeBron versus Team Durant. Team LeBron actually has LeBron. Team Durant doesn't have Durant, so LeBron wins every single year. If Team LeBron has LeBron, which they will, and Team Giannis doesn't have Giannis, it is a massive advantage. Plus, LeBron gets to pick first every single year out of the starters. So this is the way things are going to kind of spin here. This is something to keep in mind, DRS, that this is a part of the reason that number is moving in that direction now. Because if Giannis doesn't play in this game, it's why Team LeBron has never lost. He keeps showing up to these things, and his counterparts don't.
You're right. And also, what happens if it's Giannis does play, but it's really just like one of those cameo roles? When you watch Giannis play basketball, I always joke about this. Like, hey, give me the basketball, the three-point line. I won't even need to take a dribble. I'll take 3.5 steps, crash into all five of your players, and try to lay it in at the rim. He's not going to do that if he has an injured wrist at that point here. But you're right about that. Every year it steps up. Not only do you have the best player in the game. The other team's best player doesn't play. Then you get the first pick to pick the next best guy. So in effect, you have the two best guys, and then the other team starts to draft at that point. And typically the other team starts to draft poorly, and you probably pick up 3, 4, and 5 in that game anyway, who are better than the other team's players. You're right. It always works out that way. Michael Jordan, the GM, not so good. LeBron James, the all-star GM, pretty good.
He's unstoppable. By the way, did you see the latest information that they dropped for the all-star draft? They are now changing the order.
Talk about it.
Yeah, and they're starting with the reserves before the starters. That way they can avoid the who got picked last of the all-star game. I mean, what's happening here, Donnie?
I mean, that is fantastic stuff. Like, I like how the NBA is actually looking out for its quote-unquote superstar players, not to embarrass a superstar player because he would get picked last and actually get clowned on. I mean, what do we – so the NBA next year's probably, hey, guys, that wasn't a good deal all the way around. Let's just go back to what we used to do in the past. But I don't want a live shot of a guy going last and everybody in the crowd laughing because he's last. Stop it.
It's just, here's the thing. Someone's still going to get picked last. Also, there's a real setup that's then happening for the starter who's going to get picked last. And if you look at the list of starters, it's not hard to figure out who it's going to be. You and I during the break can figure out. We're going to do a little mock all-star draft here between myself and Donnie. We can figure out who's going to pick from the starters first and the reserves as the time continues. Quickly, Suns-Clippers. Look, to me, the game, it's somewhat insignificant, but it's not. Kevin Durant's talking about the pressure that comes with him now joining Phoenix. And he speaks the lens of how his presence applies pressure to everybody else. The quote was, it's pressure because I'm one of the best players to ever play the game. So it's not that he's deflecting, but he's saying that that's how the expectations are when you're someone of my talent level. And he's not wrong, Donnie. However, they lose a basketball last night, and you're reminded, yeah, he's not out there. He's not available. And that's been the case for a while now. And Kevin Durant's played 39 games this season. And the one thing about this big three here that worries me, DRS, is that's the same number of games that Chris Paul's played, and it's 6 more than Devin Booker. The entire group has been unhealthy. Maybe they are the most talented in the NBA, but they might only get about 15 games under their belt together before the playoffs begin. That's just not an easy ask for this team to take a 15-game sample size and spin it into an NBA championship.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you there, but adding Kevin Durant should be pretty easy. Get him the basketball and get out of the way, and you work off of him. But there are some growing, you know, concerns that you have, and you don't have too much time to get it right. We saw it already with the Dallas Mavericks there with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic in the backcourt. Not sure who's going to actually close out games. That could be an issue because we know Booker wants to close out games, and Chris Paul wants to set you up. Well, who's Chris Paul going to pass the basketball to? Hey, it's always been Devin Booker's team. Is it going to be Durant's team? But I always used to joke in Philadelphia, Brett Brown, the former Sixers coach, before Doc Rivers took over, they got Jimmy Butler. They played like 50 games. And after every game, like, hey, we're still young. And I said, how much time do you need to get acclimated out here? It's only basketball. So I don't think that learning curve is going to be too big. There should be plenty of time for these guys to get around to get used to each other.
Well, plenty of time is an interesting way to put it. 15 game. Look, the max they play, Donnie, is 22. That's the max. Because that's how many games they'll have after the break. How many do you actually think they're going to play together? Is 15 a fair number?
15 is a fair number because you're right. We're not actually measuring if all of those guys will be healthy. It's also that the Suns know, like, well, what are you going to do, play Durant 22 straight games before the playoffs? It's going to be a lot of maintenance days in between for some of those guys 100%. As well. So I think you're on it with that number.
They'll play zero back-to-backs. Like the whole lot of them might be off. DeAndre Ayton's going to be out there by himself. He's going to score 35 points with 20
couple
rebounds.
Couple nights, 10 minutes for the superstars. You know what I mean? Just giving them what they need.
Yeah,
I mean,
just get a little work in. You know what? Mm-hmm. Honestly, this is more than ever do I agree with that idea. Fellas, look, you want the night off, that's fine. But I'm going to need 10 minutes of good hard work here, and then we can button it up. Like, hey, it's not a bad. And then let Damian Lee take all the shots moving forward. To then get over to Russell Westbrook, this is an interesting situation here to me. as Russ has not secured the buyout yet with the Utah Jazz. Everyone else kind of been figuring out their buyouts. Kevin Love had one the other day that kind of crept up in the middle of the night up to Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll see where he lands. Before Russell Westbrook, Donnie, the fact that he's not secured the buyout, I think, means he's uncertain about the potential landing spots that are out there. He wants to ensure his role and everything that comes with it with his new basketball team. The teams that we are aware he's going to talk to, the Miami Heat, the Los Angeles Clippers, perhaps reuniting with the Washington Wizards, and the Chicago Bulls in the mix as well. When I look at those teams there, if everything is even, I mean, you would imagine that the Clippers would be the front runner for an LA guy and a legitimate title contender like the Los Angeles Clippers, where that shouldn't be a hard sell for Russell Westbrook, assuming they are interested.
Ultra talented. We've always known that about Russell Westbrook. But over the years, I've always called him probably the most selfish player I've ever seen, because I used to joke, hey, if you would tell him and say, what would you like out of your season? You to average 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists and win an NBA championship, or a triple-double every night and never win a game? He'd be like, sign me up for the triple-double every single night. That's what I do out here. So now it's kind of interesting where he's trying to sit back and gauge where he wants to go. But it's interesting that you bring up, Kevin, where those landing spots might be, because you brought up like the Wizards. I mean, I don't think they're going to play into the East where they're going to make a deep run. Or let's just say Oklahoma City, he goes back to. There's two things Russell Westbrook can do, which we know he loves to get stats. Does he agree to a buyout and then just goes to a bad basketball team and fills up the stat sheet? Or is he actually going around to NBA teams going, look, I don't need to be the focal point here. I want to win an NBA ring. I want to win a championship. I'll be more than willing to come off the bench. I'll give you what you need. And also, Kevin, you're right. This is a business. He's not rushing to get the buyout by going, okay, I'll accept less. All right, I'm on the streets. And everybody else is going like, oh, we'll bring you in as like the seventh or eighth guy, but you're not going to play much when you could have just stayed and actually played slash not played, but got your full salary. That also weighs into it too, Kev, because we're not talking like a million or 2 million. That's a massive contract he has. You want to get paid the full amount if this might be your last big contract anyway.
Yeah, see, and again, if you look right now, the Clippers are 33-28. They're the fourth seed in the Western Conference. The Bulls are 2 games out of the play-in. The Wizards are the 9th seed right now, and Miami is the 7th seed. So if you kind of, in terms of playoff expectations, Donnie, I mean, he shouldn't even be talking to the Chicago Bulls or the Washington Wizards, which clearly suggests he is interested in a certain workload for whoever he is going to sign with, which I understand. You want to contribute, but for Westbrook, that seems to be as important, if not more, than being able to play real winning basketball. If you tell him that the Chicago Bulls are going to play him 32 minutes a night and he can keep his sixth man role, or he can go to the Clippers and play 13 minutes a night, it looks like he might prefer to go to the Chicago Bulls. It makes for a very interesting situation for a guy that before all this trade stuff started to play out was the favorite to win sixth man of the year, which of course has impacted that market greatly. Last look, he was 30-1 to come away with the sixth man of the year award, now seemingly eliminated from that race. We have the All-Star mock draft coming up. First time in 2 years on the early line. It is Team Kevin versus Team Donnie. What a moment. Get excited. The GM hats go on after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's make it happen. All-Star mock draft. Team Kevin versus Team Donnie. Donnie's going to pick from the starters first. We'll finish those out. And then, yes, we will actually have a Mr. Irrelevant from this draft. So it kind of was Donnie, then me for the starters, and then we reverse it for the reserves here. DRS, quick, you know, pregame speech. Do you feel confident? A lot of good vibes for Team Donnie heading into the draft?
Yeah, I think we are feeling good here because, you know, we're going to have a couple starry drinks here at the All-Star break, you know, break in the new products here, get some people some NILs out here, have some fun, and, you know, I think we're going to be ready to go in this one. I do.
I would imagine Team Donnie jerseys just have your face plastered in the middle. So those would
maybe
be a big purchase there. Yeah, if people could get them. All right, you got first pick. Go ahead. Who do you want?
I'm going Giannis. So I'm going to go to Big G. Yeah.
Listen,
you got to write this down live on there. It's going to be good.
Yeah, this is going to be pretty good to watch you try and keep
spelled
up with
his name
this.
Wrong already.
Now that was Now that was an obvious strategy out of me because I was always picking LeBron first, but Giannis is the best player in the NBA, so I let Donnie take first pick. He gets Giannis. Mm-hmm. I get LeBron. You're back on the clock. Here we go.
All right, so take it away. So if I got Giannis, right, which means I'm going to have a guy that's going to be ball dominant here, but you don't want him to clash. Like, you know me, Kevin. Like, we're going to break down some of these picks. Yeah. If I go Embiid and Giannis here, it's a little bit too much for me, so I'm going to go in that guard range. Give me Luka up top here. So I'm going to go Luka Doncic.
It's a good pick. See, this is the thing. Now you got to start to wonder how Donnie's going to fill out his roster. I'm going to go then to another wing, and I'm going to take Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics, who deserves more MVP consideration than he's probably getting.
All right, so if we got now a guy that's going to be ball dominant up top, I got my sort of small slash power forward there in Giannis. I'm going to need a guard here, and I want a guard that can absolutely fill it up. I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell.
How about that? DRS goes to a Cleveland Cavalier, and now it's all starting to take shape here for me. As I try and look through this board, there's a couple of interesting options. It feels like we're going to get a split situation across two players.
Yeah.
I'll take a chance here, though. I'll take what could be the three-time MVP, and I'll take Nikola Jokic.
All right, so you're going to go Jokic. Now, here's the honest opinion where I know I already have Giannis, but if there's one guy that wants to pick on the other side and go, yo, turn the TV on. I'm about to cook this guy in the All-Star game. You know where I'm going.
Remember last
That's Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I mean, the MVP of the league, people were forcing him back into the game just to cook him one more time. Sensational stuff.
Yeah,
so I'm going
many
Joel.
People said that it almost cost Jokic's MVP last year. Looking at that, who remains on this board, I'll take Ja Morant. There's always going to be the same guy who I think comes in Mr. Irrelevant here. We'll see if that's how it plays out.
All right, so we're going down here. So it looks like the only two left on the board would be Kyrie and Lauri Markkanen. So I figure I have enough sort of bigger guys there. I want another ball guard. So I'm going to go Kyrie Irving at this point here.
Look, here's the thing, and this is kind of what I was alluding to. If
teammates.
You think that they did not just set up Lauri Markkanen to be the last guy drafted in his own in his own town there, no one has ever taken Lauri Markkanen anywhere other than absolutely last. Fantastic. Those are your starters. Little roundup
Pretty
here.
Good.
Donnie has Giannis, Luka, Donovan Mitchell, Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, strong team. I've got LeBron, Tatum, Jokic, Ja Morant, and Lauri Markkanen. Then we go over to the list of reserves.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on. Yeah, let's take a look at the starters, how they line up here, because I think it is a little bit unfair, because you get LeBron, which is, you know, the way you're supposed to go. You get him two, he probably should be one. But is this going to be easy when we put this out to the poll with the starters? Like, do you automatically lose just because you got Markkanen? Like, is that what happens in this? Match up these two teams, because it's really not fair. If you would have thrown in, let's just say, instead of you had Ja Morant, like Ja Morant was the last pick as opposed to Markkanen and another NBA superstar, I feel like you would get a better, like, you know, mesh point here when we ask the question. But I feel like it's not fair to you where you look at the starting five and they go, oh, you got Markkanen, you lost. It's really not right.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, like, forgetting the replacements and leaving Kevin Durant and Steph Curry
a
in the conversation.
Four. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, this is what's going to happen. Team LeBron, in this instance, would tip the ball, time out, and bench Lauri Markkanen. I mean, stop the madness, right? Like, he's not even remote. Like, he's a fringe all-star. We've got him starting in the basketball.
Like, you throw in Dame. Yes, like, you get Dame instead of, like, Lauri Markkanen. People are like, ooh, that's good. Yeah. But the fact that you got Markkanen is great, because you know I'm going to play this off later today when that poll is up. I mean, this guy drafted Lauri Markkanen. What's wrong with him? Only to realize he was the last guy left, but nobody needs to know that. Yeah.
Yeah, he took him 10th overall. He thinks he's actually he's way better than Damian Lillard there. That's where I'll start with the reserves, by the way. Damian Lillard, I think, is clearly the best guy in that reserves crop.
Yeah, I think he is too. Now, since I got first pick You get first pick. I guess you're in the reserves. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I'm starting with Damian Lillard, and then it's right back to you, which is, I mean, if this doesn't go a certain direction, I'm going to be stunned, and I'm going to make you pay for it, too.
Now, look, exactly. Now, I am a GM here, so even though I like to bet on favorites here, sometimes I just got to go with the best overall player that I can probably use. So, obviously, I think Damian Lillard was the best of the bunch overall. I'm pretty set down low because I would like to go Bam Adebayo, but I love just to continue to stack up on some guard play here, but I'm not going to go with that slash small forward guard that you think I'm going with. I'm actually going to go Jaylen Brown here. I'll go Jaylen Brown.
That's crazy. I simply can't let you get away with that. I'm taking SGA. He's your favorite player in the NBA. That's criminal. I let you get Joel Embiid. I'm not going to be nice twice. Listen, I had a responsibility to make sure that LeBron James ended up on my roster. In the same way you had a responsibility to draft Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's a bad job out of you. That's a bad job out of you.
I'm going to be a winner either way once we get to the pick six at the end of this show here because, no matter what happens, I think I'm going to come out on top no matter what. So there you go. So you go SGA here. So the pick so far, Brown, Lillard, and SGA. Let's see. We got DeMar, Halliburton, Drew, Siakam.
It's a tough list to go through.
It's a bonus. Yeah, it is. You know what? I'm just going to keep on going like star power. You know what? Give me Anthony Edwards. I'm not going to go. I was going to go another route, but I'm going Anthony Edwards. Yeah, exactly. I want that young phenom that wants to get on that big stage, show out a little bit. I'll go Anthony Edwards.
All right. I'm taking Paul George. And again, like, get Paul George in my starting lineup here, please.
That's where I was going.
Like, I'm not starting Larry Markkanen. Like, cook the graphics, somebody out there. Larry Markkanen might come off the board last out of the reserves. And I got this guy starting on my roster. It's an absolute disgrace. Ball back to you.
All right, so we're going to keep it in the guard range here. Give me that stealth. I'm going to light the beam right here tonight. De'Aaron Fox. Let's go. Yeah, let's go.
That's your boy. All right, how about that? Yep. Look, there's not a lot of tremendous bigs out here. Mm-hmm. I wonder, though, if we put this to a poll and we get Gabe to retweet it, do I need Pascal Siakam and try and cook the numbers? Do we think that could be a game changer there? For our Canadian audience, I'm going to take Pascal Siakam.
Okay, so we'll go Siakam on that edge. And then also, like, I want the – because I like how you're doing this because I'm going to counter this point now. So you're going for the Gabe crowd where you're trying to get, you know, the Sports Grid Network on your side, a couple retweets. I need the New York crowd here. So you know where I'm going, right? Julius Randle. That's going to get that Nick crowd behind me going, like, you know what? Makes some sense there.
You should just put Jalen Brunson's name, and they'll actually give you the votes because I think all of New York thinks Jalen Brunson is better than Julius Randle at this point in time there. So you start – look, the list has started to dwindle. Who's remaining here? Bam Adebayo, DeMar DeRozan, Tyrese Halliburton, Drew Holiday, Sabonis, and then I think Jaren Jackson Jr. might be your last remaining guys. I'll take Bam Adebayo, the Miami Heat big man, one of my favorite players in the league. And a nice bit of value here, Donnie, down the board.
No, it certainly is. So if we keep moving down the list, I'm trying to go for versatility now at this point where I can slide in and out. I'm going to go DeMontis Sabonis here in this part here. So we're going to keep it out on that West Coast action. Yeah. I think, you know, you get the teammates that play together. They're used to it. There you go. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. You're right. I mean, you're going to run a couple Sacramento sets, clear out the side, let them play a little pick and roll off one another. I mean, look, you're talking about one of the best teams in the Western Conference, the DRS. You can't pass up an opportunity like that.
Let's do it.
I'm going to take a winner, an NBA champion, in Drew Holiday, who is not really suited for an all-star game, it feels like. But if people are kind of trying to line up these rosters, that's the kind of guy I want to have on my side. Give me Drew Holiday.
Now, I don't like three-point shots, Kevin, which is a complete lie here. But I'm going to take a guy who doesn't like three-point shots. DeMar DeRozan, Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I know who that is. I know who that is. He really, you love three-pointers. All right, Donnie, you versus DeMar DeRozan, three-point shootout. I mean, it's close, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, not even like, we go in the, you know, three-point competition here. Does he just get to the first rack and then go sit down and not even shoot one basketball? So I could probably make one and win. Yeah.
You know, you might, because he might step in. Like, he might take one dribble and step in and take a 26-footer each and every time.
Yeah, that little ref behind him that's, like, watching as he keeps raising his hand because he's not shooting the three. Yeah, I probably won't have
the ref just keeps holding up two. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. You've taken a couple of the big men here, so I'll take another one then in Jaren Jackson Jr., and I'll round out the Memphis group.
Jaren Jackson Jr. All right, so that leaves one guy left, and who is the actual last guy on the board? Let's see. Haliburton. I'll go Haliburton. There we go. Not bad. Not bad. We'll go Pacers style on this one. Now, granted, where was he from before?
Sacramento. So the vibes are still on.
Man. I mean, vibes are high right here.
Attacking this.
Wow.
This Sacramento boy.
Run it back. I mean, with this reserve unit, that's going to be Sacramento's fine. It looks like I wound up into that strategy. I mean, that's fantastic. So we are going to go lighten the beam here. So everybody now off the board, and it's going to be up to the people here to let us know which team is actually going to win.
We'll do a little reset of this to close out the hour. I like that you now have a closing lineup, though, complete and full of Sacramento Kings. Yeah. Does anybody else have any Sacramento ties? And I'll maybe make you a trade. You want to trade anybody? Is there anybody you want off of your team? Bad chemistry? Bad vibes?
Who would be the bad vibe guy on my – because the good vibes would be coming from, obviously, the starters, the bad vibes. Would it be Julius Randle out here being like, where's Tibbs? Like, why am I not playing 38 minutes in the All-Star game? I always play 38 minutes.
And again, here's the deal. I'm pretty sure if I offered you Larry Markkanen and Julius Randle, you hang up on me. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the story.
I think right here, this whole team goes out, and I think you just eye scan it. And the fact that you have Markkanen, like, you could have LeBron six ways, like, in your starting lineup. Like, he's got Markkanen off the bench or whatever it would be.
Yeah. I'm going to put my starting lineup LeBrons and Larry Markkanen, and it's going to be like, I don't know.
Was this one of those K-pop guys that said, I love Larry Markkanen and put him in the All-Star game like Andrew Wiggins? Is that what happened? Like, why is he in the starting lineup? What'd I miss?
He's replacing Steph. It doesn't make any sense. Steph's a guard. Like, I don't even know what's going on. Like, it should be any of the other guards. It's insanity. Like, Ja Morant or something there. Or Ja's a starter. Whatever. Your boy SGA. Like, he couldn't crack the starting lineup there. I did steal SGA for you. I'll trade you SGA and Larry Markkanen for a package. We'll figure it out maybe over the break. Larry Markkanen is an albatross contract at this point. It's trying to trade John Wall. Like, it like doesn't even work.
That's going to be my attack angle right here for the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good move by you. All right, we'll be right back here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid, closing out the NBA All-Star Mock Draft. We can list off the teams here. DRS, I actually wrote your team down as well. I'm a little proud of myself there.
Yeah, right.
You want to give people the rundown of your squad?
Yeah, I like the squad. By the way, I had to write yours down. Otherwise, I would be drafting multiple guys in both directions here at this point. But I'm feeling superstar status here in the starting lineup. Giannis, Luka, Donovan Mitchell, Joel Embiid, and Kyrie Irving. I think that meshes well. But I think I got that Knights mix because, as you said, I went after camaraderie on my bench where everybody should know the same play. Like, you don't have to be, hey, look, here's the new plays. Red, green, and blue. Like, no. Like, Sacramento's got their thing together. Like, when the bench comes in, they're going to be able to run the show out here. And that's the way I did it. So I'm feeling good. Great about the starters. Solid bench work here for the boys.
Again, my starting lineup, LeBron, Tatum, Jokic, Ja Morant. Yeah. Like, man, this is a battle of the Titans. Larry Markkanen. It's an ugly scene. How many guys on my bench are better than Larry Markkanen? Damian Lillard. SGA. Yup. Paul George. Yup. Bam Adebayo. Yup. Jaren Jackson Jr. Yup. Drew Holiday. Yup. So it's Larry Markkanen versus Pascal Siakam for who's the worst player on my team. And I've got Larry Markkanen in the starting lineup. I'm going to really need the Canadian vote there from Gabe to help me out. Otherwise, I'm going to be in a bad spot, Donnie.
Now, that's what you got to lead with. Like, who's worse on my team, Lauri Markkanen or Pascal Siakam? You might lose the Canadian audience right
yeah,
there.
That's from, a good point. Like, I'm not even so being out. Appreciative yeah, exactly. of having a Toronto Raptor.
Yeah.
Where's FBV
no
in this
Toronto
game?
Teams.
Where's OG Anunoby in this game? I don't understand. These guys. Is Scotty Nick Barnes, Nurse not anybody? Coaching the All-Star game?
Exactly.
Remember when Scotty Barnes was the next Kevin Durant? I'm pretty sure he's taking a step back.
Would never trade straight up Kevin Durant for Scotty Barnes. No. You out of your mind?
You hang up on him. You hang up on him right away. Wouldn't even make sense. Yeah. It's all right, though. And it's not like all of those teams didn't immediately have buyer's remorse or not buyer's remorse for making a move to bring him in. That's the mock draft. We'll reset this inside hour number two. We begin, though, with some golf. The Genesis Invitational's up next.